Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
So it's always a privilege to get to speak when pastor's out of town. I really appreciate the opportunity. We're going to carry on for the sevenfold Spirit of God, with the study that he has started. So we're going to just carry on there. As you can see here, we've got the flame of love going in the very middle. We're still on humility. Maybe he thinks we've got a ways to go. I'm not sure. But we're still on humility here. So we're going to give a little review of last week, talking about servants. That was a good message on servanthood and how, we think of the people in the Bible. Like Naaman, the story that really stuck out to me was he talked about Naaman last week and how the little servant girl said, "Boy, I know where my master could go, you know, to get some help." And she started the whole ball rolling there. And then when Naaman went and he didn't like what the prophet had told him, he didn't like doing it that way. He wanted it, you know, to be big and holy and glorious and all of that. And the servants around him said, "Well, you know, wouldn't you have done it if it was hard? Wouldn't you have gone to do this if it was something hard?" And so they all made an impact on Naaman. They all helped push Naaman along, helped him to see reason, but we don't know any of their names. We know servant girl. We know the other servants. That's all we know. But, Pastor had said we should learn from servants since we are surrounded by them. They're intimately involved in our lives. I mean, people, you know, I don't like to think of people as servants. This day and time, we don't like to think like that. But there are people who serve us. You know, if you go through a drive-through anywhere, there's somebody there who serves you. You know, they want to know, can I take your order? You know, they want to help you. If you go to a restaurant, there are servers there. They are there to serve you. They're not servants. I don't like to think of them. There's just something about my mentality that gives me a hard time with that, you know. But they're there to help us. And these people, they can hear your table conversation. You know, I mean, they learn things about you just by being there. And half the time, we continue talking even when they're there, you know, because we don't think about it. But servants are intimately involved in our lives. Servants do not get the glory, but servants make all the difference. They don't get the glory, but they make a big difference. What if Naaman had not had those servants around him? What if he hadn't listened? He wouldn't have been healed. He wouldn't have been because he did not listen. But the servants, they made all the difference in his life. You know, we hear things on TV with celebrity parties and how they have this great party and the wonderful food and all of this stuff. Well, okay, the celebrities did pay the money out, okay? But did they fix the food? Probably not. Did they clean the house? Probably not. Did they arrange the furniture? Probably not. So, yes, they started it and they had the money. But, you know, the servants were responsible for the success or failure of that party. The people who were there getting it together. So they make all the difference. They are involved. They're everywhere. They're involved, and they're in the know. You think about, like, the royal nannies, okay, to the royal family. They know all the stuff. They can't tell it. They can get in trouble, but they know the stuff. They are involved in everything that goes on in that family, and they have influence over the lives of those children that they're taking care of, you know? They make a big difference. So you can never downplay servanthood. And I think that is what Pastor was getting to us through to us last week. Is you cannot, it's not a bad thing. It's a great thing to be a servant to other people. And humility, this which is the flame we're on now. Jesus is the light of the world. He blazes with humility, and he's definitely worth imitating, isn't he? We need to imitate Jesus. You know, we see other people we want to imitate. You know, oh, I wish I could sing like them. You know, I wish I could sing like anybody. know. That would be good. Or people, you know, who are beautiful and wonderful, and we think, oh, I wish I could look like them, or I wish I could run a race like them, or all of that. And we, you know, so you might buy a treadmill and think, okay, well, I'll walk a little bit because I'm gonna, you know, I want to run like them. But you don't really do that on a treadmill, do you? You don't train for the Olympics on a treadmill. But you know, we want to be like other people usually. But there's nobody better to imitate than Jesus. Nobody. So our scripture this morning is Philippians 2. It says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. A lot of versions of the Bible say the same attitude. Who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. 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 So the first flame is love. But we can't understand humility without love in our life. So you can't get to flame two without being a flame one. We need to love God, and we need to love people. There are so many times when we look down on other people for whatever reason, and we don't love them the way we should. I had a young lady in my office this past week who was mad about something, and the whole time I'm talking to her, and the whole time she's telling me she's going to sue me and everything else, I kept thinking, Jesus, help me to love on her. Help me to love. This girl needs some loving, Lord. Help me to love on her. And I don't know whether I ever got through to her. I don't think I did. But there may be some seeds were planted, you know, for later on. But I just kept thinking, and I tried my hardest. I even apologized for not being able to explain things right. Sorry, I'm a bad explainer. You know? But, there are just people you see and you come across every day that you think, they just need some Jesus. They just need some Jesus. So just take the time, you know, when you come across these folks, even if you see there's nothing you can say that's going to make a situation any better, pray for them. Pray for them. Because the Lord will help them. Matthew 22:36-33 says, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. We've got to be concerned for other people's welfare. Too many times we're so wrapped up in what has happened means to us that we don't look past that. I know those of you that have known my family and have known my family for a while know that a few years ago my niece was murdered. She, over money from Black Friday, they tied her up, they strangled her, they beat her up, and then they set her on fire. So many people in my family, okay, just wanted justice. And that's not a bad thing. Justice is not a bad thing. But you know what? All I could think was they need Jesus. they need Jesus. If they had Jesus in their life, they never would have done that in the first place if they had Jesus. People, we wouldn't have crime if everybody had Jesus. Shouldn't we care enough about people that that's all we care about? Not getting revenge, not anything like that, but we need to care that they have Jesus because Jesus is the best life for them. The best life for everybody around them, too. Because we are so much better when we are letting Jesus control our lives. When I don't let Jesus control my life, if I have a moment of anger or whatever and I'm not thinking the way I should, it ain't pretty. It's not pretty. And we have got to show mercy to people. We have got to love on people. Jonah did not love the Ninevites. He didn't give two flips about them. They were a mean people. You know, they had probably done stuff against his race and his country. He didn't want to go because he knew they would repent. And he did not want mercy, right? He wanted justice. Justice. He wanted man's justice is what he wanted. But we need to worry about God's, right? Not what we consider justice, but what God does. The Amplified version of Philippians 2:2 says it like this, is make my joy complete by me being of the same mind, having the same love toward one another, knit together in spirit, intent on one purpose, and living a life that reflects your faith and spreads the gospel, the good news regarding salvation through faith in Christ. Too many times we compartmentalize our faith. We're great Christians at church, but when we're out there and somebody runs us off the road or, you know, somebody hits us because they're on their phone and they're not paying attention, then we sometimes are just angry. And we don't show the love of Christ to those people. We don't act the way we should. We've got to take Jesus with us everywhere, right? Everywhere. We cannot do that. So, point two, live your faith. Can people see Christ in your actions? I used to work with somebody who was constantly telling me and everybody else who would listen that she was a woman of God. And I thought, but you shouldn't have to tell me. You know, I should see it. You shouldn't have to just tell me that and then not act it. So we've got to let people see our faith. We've got to live our faith. So can people see Christ in your actions? You know, think about this for a minute. Can they see Christ in your actions, or are you having to tell them you're a Christian? When I lived in Alabama, I worked in a hospital. And I did medical transcription, so I would type up the medical reports when the doctor would dictate them. And then I had to go chart them in the hospital. And I was charting at one of the floors one day. And I looked up, and there was a man. And he glanced over at me, but he was waiting for the nurse to ask her a question. And that man, I thought, wow. The love I could see in this man's eyes was something I had never really experienced before. It was just a pure, sweet love. And I thought, that man's a Christian. That man's a Christian. And so when the nurse came up, he introduced himself as one of the patient's pastors. And I thought, well, that explains it. But man, what, you know, you could just see it. You could feel it. I want to be so close to God that people can see it and feel it. Wherever I go and whatever I'm doing, you know, do you ever see people in a restaurant and let the Holy Spirit speak to you and he says, pay their bill? Do you ever do that? The other day I was at Sonic, which I go every morning. I'm a regular. If I change up my order, I confuse everybody. So I was at Sonic and I went through, I got up to the window and she says, the lady in front of you paid for your order today. I said, aw, because that's such a nice thing to do, right? So I said, well, okay, I'll pay for the lady behind me. We'll just see how long we can keep this going, you know? So, you know, let the Holy Spirit talk to you. There are times when God will say, you know, give them $50 or give them $100. And there's also times when God says, no, You know, you don't give to everybody who asks, because some people aren't ever going to learn a lesson if you're handing out. And I get that. So that's why it's so important to listen to the Holy Spirit. Point three, don't be selfish. We were all born selfish. Can't deny it. We were all born selfish. My dad loves to tell this story on me, and so I'll just tell it on myself. When I was about two, my mom was in the hospital having my brother, and Dad was trying to, you know, take care of me, do the ponytail thing, the whole, you know, not used to taking care of a girl because my mom always did it, so he was stuck with me for a couple of days on his own. So he gets me some popcorn. We're going to the hospital to see my mom. I'm standing in the front seat as we used to do, right, without a car seat, standing in the front seat, eating my popcorn, and my dad says, "Hey, can I have a bite of that popcorn?" And I grabbed the bag because it was closest to him. I stuck it under my arm over here, and I said, "Gone, gone." I was about two. And you know what? Nothing has changed. I still do not like to share my popcorn. And I know this is true. I know that it's true that I'm still a selfish person by nature. A couple of years ago, my staff ordered me chocolate-covered strawberries because they know I love chocolate and they know I love strawberries. So they ordered a dozen chocolate-covered strawberries, and I'm thinking to myself, I really should offer them some, right? So I'm going to do the right thing. So I go and I say, "Does anybody want any?" And in my mind, I'm thinking, please say no, please say no, please say no. Some did, some didn't. But you know what? It really does feel good to share, you know? Now, I'll give you my money before I want to give you my chocolate-covered strawberries. But it really does feel, it really does feel good to share. We should not be selfish. And you know what? Attitude is everything, right? Having the right mindset. Do you have the same mindset or the same attitude as Christ? I've told this on myself before, and I'll tell you again. We were at a minister's prayer meeting that we had once a month a couple of years ago for all the ministers in the section. And we were there praying, and it was just kind of freestyle prayer. It wasn't that, you know, guided prayer or anything. So we all were kind of had our spots. So I'm praying, and I hear a minister behind me who I highly esteem. I think he's a great man of God. I just love him to pieces. But he's talking to another minister who walked in about golf. It went all over me. It made me so mad. I thought, I'm thinking to myself, all right, fellas, this is a prayer meeting. You know, can we not pray? We're in a prayer meeting. And so I'm getting myself all worked up, and I'm getting mad, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, "You have a critical spirit." And I went, snap, that's right. The Holy Spirit knows how to snap you right back into place. I had to repent. It's none of my business what they're talking about. I should have been zoned in on God, right? None of my business. Should have been thinking about what I needed to be thinking about. And you know, when I got mad and was getting upset, there went the prayer. I wasn't praying. I was just griping to myself, right? So, does your attitude, I was judge and jury of those guys. I was thinking, I'm a little bit more holier than them. I'm praying and they're talking about golf, right? We don't think that, but we kind of put ourselves up a little bit above people when we start doing that. So are we moving ourselves up with God in that point? Are we thinking, no, you know, we're not thinking it because none of us would ever admit to it. None of us would. But are we really? You know, we've got to be careful. We're not God. We are not a God. We are not the God. We are not God. So we've got to watch our attitude. There's a saying that says, attitude is like a flat tire. If you don't change it, you'll never go anywhere. Right? That's the truth. Philippians 2:14-15 says, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among the stars in the sky. Do you know what do everything means? Do everything. Everything without grumbling or arguing. Right? I think that for some of us, grumbling and arguing is like our default in situations, you know? We've got to get that out of us so that we are not grumbling and arguing to ourselves. Sometimes we do it in our mind, and we don't even realize what we're doing. We need to repent of that. We need to stop it. And me too, I'm just saying. And every time I speak, I've been whooped first, okay? Before I come to y'all, if y'all think I'm just pounding you, no, I'm not. I've already been pounded. I'm just spreading the love, okay? All right. So, point five, we must be obedient. And sometimes that is hard. It's very hard to crucify our flesh sometimes because we do go back to that default of being obedient. And sometimes what God's asking is hard, is difficult. You know, when he first called me in the ministry, I thought, man, somehow the wires got crossed, right? What do I have to give? You know, I don't talk in front of people. There is a problem here. So, and then recently, he's told me to go back to school. And I'm thinking, when am I going to have time for that? But I've got to be obedient. I've got to do it. So, yes, thank the Lord for online school, Sarah. I love it. That's always a plus. All right, so we have to be obedient, always obedient. The proof of our love for God is our obedience to the commands of God. It's our obedience to the commands of God. That's the proof of our love. If we are not obeying God, then we're not walking in obedience at all. So, in conclusion, and I know it's only 10:41, and that's why some of you love me. And I know that, but I'm calling this next slide the five L's. The five L's. Love is essential. It's essential. Live out loud. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Don't go your own way thinking you can be, you know, a Christian incognito, because you can't. Live second. Put other people in front of you. Live second. Lose the bad attitude. A lot of us, including myself, need to lose the bad attitude sometimes. I have a bad attitude about everything, but there are things I have a bad attitude about. So I need to get rid of that. Listen and obey. Listen and obey. If being like Christ is our goal, then humility is essential and definitely worth imitating. We've got to imitate. And then behavioral change minus heart change equals temporary change. We can change behavior, right? Some people can change behavior for a little while. That's not for very long if it's not a heart change, right? That's one reason life challenge is so effective, because they don't just work on your behavior, they work on your heart. But heart change and behavioral change is permanent change. I stole this out of our ladies' Bible study. I can't take credit for it. I stole it, but it's the truth, and I liked it so much I thought it would be perfect for this. We want a permanent change, don't we? Are you tired of going around the same old mountain over and over? Because sometimes we do that. We think, Lord, why am I facing this again? Because you haven't dealt with it the first time, you know? We've got to have permanent change in our life. We need to continually be going forward in the Lord instead of two steps forward, three steps back. We need to be going forward in the Lord. So I have a question for you today, and I know that there's got to be something here on this list. If we go, yep. Have you fallen short in loving God and others? Have you fallen short on living out loud? Have you fallen short on living second? Have you fallen short in losing the bad attitude? Or have you fallen short in listening and obeying? I have a feeling that one of these has probably hit everybody this morning. Something that you say, oh, that's me. I don't have a problem with this, but I have a problem with this one. And so I just want to pray this morning. Will, would you come up to the piano? I just want to give us a chance to think about this just in silence for a few minutes. And then I just want to pray over us. And you pray and get the one that, you know, really speaks to you. Just get it worked out with the Lord right here, right now, because you can leave here and not have to worry about this anymore. You can leave here changed in the area that is giving you the most grief here. So, Father, we just love you this morning. I just love you, Jesus. I thank you so much for your Holy Spirit who leads us and guides us, snaps us back into place when we need it, speaks love and encouragement when we need that. Oh, Father, thank you, Jesus. Help us to be a humble people. Help us to love people the way we should love people. Help us to see people through your eyes, Jesus. Help us to be concerned about their salvation. Help us to live out loud, to go about doing good, and to love people and show them that love. Help us to live second. Help us to put other people ahead of us, their needs ahead of our own. Help us to love them like we should, Father. Oh, Father, many of us struggle, at least from time to time, with a bad attitude. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, help us with that. We are to do all things without grumbling and complaining. We are supposed to keep our attitude and our mindset as that of Christ. Help us in this area of our life. And then, Lord, I ask that you help us to be quick to listen and quick to obey. So many times, Lord, we hear you tell us something, but we just put off doing it because we think the wires are crossed. Something's wrong here. And we don't obey as quickly as we should. So I ask that you forgive us for these times, Father. Forgive us for the times when we have fallen short. Help us to move forward in you every day. Help us, Lord, to move forward and be a changed person, not to revisit the same issues anymore, but, Father, to move forward in you and to become that light and that salt that you want us to be. Because, Father, the ultimate goal is to have people come to Jesus. Let us be such a bright light that they want what we have. Help us, Lord, never, ever to let you down in this area, Father, again, in these areas. Father, help us to be a humble people whose light shines, but we don't have to tell it. They see it. Oh, Father, use us. Use us in the lives of other people. Use us to make a difference. Use us to share the gospel of Christ so that other people's lives can be changed. Father, we just praise you, and I thank you for your presence here today. And I thank you that we never have to stay the same. I thank you so much for your love for us and your example, Jesus, to us, that we can look at your life, we can read the word and see how you handled situations and see what you didn't, and we can see what mattered most to you and help that matter most to us. So, Father, I just ask a blessing as well over this congregation. Father, I pray that we will be the church that makes a difference in our community, will be the church that shows love to those that come to visit us, Father, and to eventually maybe become a part of us, Father. Help us to love each other like you would have us to in unity, Father God. And we just ask it in the holy and precious name of Jesus. Amen. You guys have a good week, and Pastor will be back Wednesday. All right.